You're listening to KBOO Portland. Stay tuned for Mr. Jones's Neighborhood. Good morning, neighbor. I'm glad we're together again. We have a very special show for you today on Mr. Jones's Neighborhood, the children's program for reluctant adults. I'm the host of Mr. Jones's Neighborhood, Ken Jones, no relation, by the way. Before we get started, I'd like to ask a favor. In more normal times, KBOO Community Radio would be in the middle of our annual spring membership drive. Unfortunately, we had to cancel the drive due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The station is closed to all but a few staff members who have resolutely kept programming going 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and no one knows that better than me. I wake up every night around 3 in the morning and turn on the radio just to check. It's a small comfort, but an important one in such a strange time. For KBOO, canceling a membership drive is a big deal. About 80% of our operating budget each year comes from listeners like you, so we're hoping you'll show your support by giving online. Times are tough and money can be harder to come by than hydroxychloroquine, so don't worry if you can't spare any right now. But if you can give a little something to keep KBOO operating like we have been for the past 52 years, please go to kboo.fm and click on the donate button in the upper left. That's what a community is all about, neighbors helping neighbors. And speaking of neighbors, how are you doing? It's a question I rarely asked BP or before pandemic, but now find myself asking quite a bit of friends, family, interview guests, and complete strangers. And if you're like me, you've been cycling through a variety of feelings. Anxiety, fear, sadness, anger, hopelessness. Relieved by the less frequent feelings of joy, gratitude, love, and hope, these less frequent feelings are the ones I seek out, as difficult as it is in the face of current circumstances. These are the feelings that keep me going, and I hope that's true for you as well. It's become almost a cliche by now, but we're all in this together. The coronavirus pandemic, despite the quarantine and the social distancing, has actually brought us closer. It touches us all, some more than others, but no one is exempt. Despite how hard they try to brush it off or ignore its influence on us, and those people going without masks or throwing in-person parties or loudly protesting the lockdown are the most fearful of us all, so fearful that denial is their only recourse. Can we respond with understanding, with kindness and compassion? That shows real strength, a strength that seems beyond my abilities at this point, maybe yours too, but for the sake of all our neighborhoods, I hope we find it soon. That, along with a vaccine. Well, okay, we have a show to do, and it's a good one. Our guest is very familiar to Oregon music fans, especially fans of electric blues, as we welcome Ty Curtis to the neighborhood. Ty's a singer, songwriter, guitarist, born and bred in Salem, Oregon, who now makes his home in Austin, Texas. This is Ty's fourth appearance on Mr. Jones's Neighborhood, and we usually have him on to preview the annual Portland Waterfront Blues Festival. KBOO live streams the festival every year, and it's far and away our most popular event. The Mr. Jones's Neighborhood Garage Sale is a distant second. The Waterfront Blues Festival was scheduled to run July 2nd through the 5th this summer, though was sadly but understandably canceled this year, which gives us even more reason to zoom in with Ty and find out how he's been sheltering in place during the pandemic. He'll play us a few tunes from his as-yet-unreleased new album and maybe an older song if we ask nicely. Ty Curtis, welcome back to the neighborhood.
How's it going, Ken? Thanks for having me, man.
Well, I got to tell you, it's your fourth time on the show, going back to June 2017. Yeah. And it's a record that will probably never be broken because most guests never return as hard as I beg. So I really appreciate you showing up for the fourth time. That's just amazing. And the first thing I want to say was happy belated birthday. You mentioned your wife's birthday's coming up, but you turned 33 earlier this month.
Thanks for keeping track.
Yeah, that's old for you, I'm sure, but it's very young for a blues musician. And you've been performing over half your life now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what age that was and what it was like your first time in front of an audience? And not your mom and dad's friends, you know, like.
Sure, yeah. Being really scared. It's like about just like kind of, you know, putting it all out there. I was at like a pizza place in South Salem. Ellen White from Ellen White Reflex Blue let me play her acoustic, and Gary Mazur was there. It led me to like take lessons from him. And I grew up listening to my parents, like I've told you this before, but like they had like a huge collection of blues, and I just got influenced by rootsy music and old instruments and old tonalities from an early age. My uncle like plays records, my parents had record players, and just being exposed to that real rootsy stuff, I think, had a huge influence on me.
Was that rootsy stuff going back to the 30s and 40s recordings, like Robert Johnson, Skip James, some of those guys? Like,
we had a Robert Johnson Fortis set that I listened to like a lot extensively. The Steve Ray Vaughan, Eric Clapton, I mean, like all the top names, I basically grew up with them. I listened to them all the time at dinner parties on my own.
What'd you play that first time at the pizza place?
To try to think of like the song, I had like a song going at the time called What Do I Know About Love, which was like I was working on with Gary. So now that I think about it, I was already taking lessons with Gary, which is kind of how I got up, because he talked to Ellen and she was like, gave me a chance to get up in front of, you know, my friends and family and stuff. And I did that. I just kind of kept at it, did a bunch of like different little bands and kept working on trying to be, you know, a musician. And then finally we got like a set together, and we did that Kaiser Iris Festival Battle of the Bands in 06, I believe, or 05. And like that, because Stubborn Mind, my first album, came out in 06. And my parents are just like very nurturing as far as like, they love the style of music I play. If I like played electronic or rap, I might not be in this position right now. That's not their bag, but yeah, just it kind of just took off from there. I started getting a bunch of calls at private parties, and it like goes from being like fun and being in your garage to like, oh, this is a business and I need an EIN number and do taxes and think about, you know, the whole deal that you're really a small business, you know. Working for yourself is one of the hardest things to do, for sure.
But it looked like you were pretty serious about pursuing a career in music from that early age.
Absolutely. I still am. It's like it's a financial game, or you know, just like getting lucky with having that really great song. Like you never know when you're going to come out with that tune that's going to hit with everybody. But I just love music. I'll play it forever.
Now, did you catch that bug after that first performance? You mentioned how scared you were before you went on at the pizza place. What were you like when you went off? Was it like, were you ecstatic, or were you kind of, man, what did I just do?
Yeah, so like when I started playing out, I would basically like, I'd play that show and then I'd like go home and play for 4 hours in my room because I'd get so energized from it. Like as a baseball player, I was a pitcher, and I get so hyped up they'd have to run me around the field. Kind of the same thing for music. Like I get really intense with energy, you know. It's like I was working with this vocal coach here in Austin. He's like, you don't have to put out that much if you don't want to. It's like, he's like, you can let the microphone do the work. Like he's like, I get that you can like belt it. I totally get that, bro. He's just like, but I mean, you don't have to do that every time. That's like learning, you know, when you're young and you like sing and you're trying to come off like you're really like gritty, or at least that's what I was trying to do and sound like an old blues man when I'm young. The older I get, the more comfortable I get with my voice and my natural speaking voice, singing in a low tone, a high tone, and then also knowing your keys and knowing where you can be and the scale and all that.
There's still a lot to learn as good as you are right now.
It's never ending. Yeah. I still take lessons forever. My grandpa's jazz piano player, my dad's side, and he studied for his whole entire life, like 65 years of playing piano, and was still learning. Like I got all these different books and sheet music and handwritten set lists and like it's really trippy, like a time capsule, writing down what he got paid in 1964 for a piano gig in Florida at this place. Like, I'm like, God, he's more organized than I am. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I wish I was taught that better. Now I'm trying to organize like that and be like, okay, I paid the guys out this much. I'll have all that in a record instead of having to go back over it at the end of the year, you know? So it's like a starting process.
For me. That's the business side.
Yeah. Yeah, which not, you're not really told about. You're just having fun in the garage, you know.
Now, I mentioned earlier when you turn 33 that it's really young for a blues musician. I mean, you may not even be a third of the way through. There's guys who play, what, B.B. King, did he die in his late 80s? And he was still performing. And there's a lot of Buddy Guy still around. I mean, there's a lot of blues performers who play into their 80s and some 90s, I guess. So you've got a lot to look forward to, a lot ahead of you there.
Yeah, no, for sure. More gray hairs to count, more experiences to write about.
Now, I want to get back to the Blues Festival because that's really, this is your fourth appearance. This is the first time. In all that time, and it's been going 32 years that the Blues Festival has ever been canceled. Of course, it's our first pandemic in our lifetime, so it makes sense. But you were one of the festival favorites, and Ty Curtis Band played there almost every year. This year's festival was scheduled for July 2nd through the 5th. Of course, it's not going to take place. But I wondered what you felt when you heard the news. I know it was hard on everybody I know in Portland because we all look forward to it.
So like you could call it in the business like an anchor date. Like the Blues Festival is like the huge energy like South by Southwest is for Austin. Like everything spawns off of it. Like events and places that you play, like it just like all comes off of everybody being jazzed about that festival and music and wanting to go out and continue that energy. I just felt like kind of like just like a void, like didn't really know what to think, like because I mean everything's just been crazy with this whole pandemic thing going on, like getting used to wearing a mask going to the store, like still like that, thinking back to like where we started where I didn't even want to go outside. Yeah, man, just like I'm kind of lost for words. I'm sad for the community. I miss our fans and friends and family, and I wish I could share my gift with people.
Were you planning to perform this year at the Blues Festival?
Yeah, I was hoping to. I usually find out like around May kind of ish. Like, you know, didn't have that going on now since it being canceled. But yeah, usually I find out and get like a cruise or a little set. Or Peter's always really nice to me. He always throws me a bone.
And you've played with him on stage, or he's come on stage and jammed with the band.
He's a tremendous guitar player. Killer tone, super great supporter of my music from an early on standpoint. So
I just want to, they had an early announcement, just preliminary lineup, and it was just amazing. It was Ben Harper and the Innocent Criminals, Charlie Musselwhite, who has played there many times before, Mavis Staples, legend. There's a jam band called Lettuce, Femi Kuti and Positive Force, Nigerian African music. Curtis Elgato, who I'm sure you know well. Chubby Carrier, who's there almost every year doing Zydeco. He's on the front porch stage in the back.
I know Chubby and Randy, his guitar player. And actually, I became friends with his bass player and the drummer, too, the last time we hung around with them a lot. I think his name's Jermaine. I'm trying to blank on it right now. But
did you ever play with them? Can you play that Zydeco style? Or did you have any interest in that?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Shout out to the Bayou Boys, like with Steve Caron and Jimmy Russell, you know, that kind of style. We do our best to try to sound like the Bayou, or what am I saying? Chubby Carrier. Those guys are the kings. Like they just destroy.
Oh yeah. Have you ever picked up a washboard? Ever tried that?
No.
I'm so musically inept. I figured the least I could do is play a washboard, but I think there's probably a lot more to it than that.
Throw a drums probably first, or just like on your chest, you know?
it's percussion. And the Chubby Carrier is one. Well, actually, I think he has two or three washboard players because I've seen him almost every year.
Yeah, we got to sit side stage, and a bunch of his friends and fans that live here in Portland, actually, he'll get him out on the stage doing the washboard. And that's really cool, letting him sit in front of the packed crowd. Like it was really, really cool. That's one of my favorite moments, honestly, like sitting side stage watching Chubby Courier. Randy Ellis and I have talked a lot guitar stuff, and it's just cool to feel a connection with people that are at that top level that are destroying it. Like, speaking of like top people, like when I was going to do that record, like I was telling you, which was going to be like probably about 12 songs, I actually got a conversation started with Jubu Smith, which is in Blind, that played Blues Festival, and he said that he would record on the album too. So
wow,
I had him lined up. I was working with Anton Pashansky, who did the last album and worked with Santana. He has 2 Grammys. And then Dave Scher, who's playing with Eric Johnson now, was going to play guitar on it as well. So it was going to be really, really cool. It still will be.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Dave Scher, because you played with him last year, right, at the Blues Festival?
Yeah, I brought him to Portland, yeah.
Yeah, and are you still in touch with him then? Because he's Austin-based, yeah. Like you are too.
Yeah, so I don't know if you know, he's playing for Eric Johnson now. And so he's the guitar player, singing and keys. So he's been on tour with him. And then he records with his girlfriend, Andrea.
And he's probably at home now, because no live performances. But he'll be busy once things open up again, I hope, with Eric Johnson.
Yeah, he's really just like at an even higher level than when I brought him to Blues Festival, because like he's had to learn all these Eric songs. He's doing his piano thing. And yeah, he's just like totally on a tear right now, doing a great job.
Now, you mentioned some of the memorable performances you've seen, like Chubby Courier. Are there any performances that the Ty Curtis Band did that stand out for you at the Blues Festival? Maybe your first.
Sure. I was looking at those pictures back. I decided to go out into the crowd because I can't remember who I saw do it. Oh, Buddy Guy. I was like just watching the Blues Festival from an early age, and I always wanted to do that, like as a dream. So I did that, and that was really cool. I had like my picture in the paper or something like that, walking around with the guitar. That's one of my favorite moments. Trippy little story to add on to that is that when Chris Tone was there, I was hanging out with him, and he got a wireless because I talked to him about it that previous year, that it was like a great thing to do and connect with people and get close to them. So like, it's actually like 2 stories, but I told him to go out and sit by the mix position and just sit there. I'm like, dude, just post up for like 2-3 minutes and let everybody circle you. And he like totally did it. It was super awesome. And then the other one is Trombone Shorty was playing the final set, and we were down in the front, and we had backstage passes and stuff, with Sarah working at Ticket Tomato and just like being there for the shows and stuff. He called Chris Tone out of the crowd to play guitar, and I followed him up there, and he didn't have a pick, and he used my pick.
See it's a personalized pick there. It's got the TC on it.
Yeah, totally. So that was kind of another cool moment to like hook him up with a pick and like watch him destroy it in front of this sold out crowd. You
know? And Chris Tone, for those listeners who don't know and should, that's Chris Tone Kingfish Ingram, usually goes just by Kingfish. So you were the one who told him about going out into the crowd with the...
because he had talked about using a wireless, and he could back me up on this too, but like he's like, dude, I got that wireless, and then we were like nerding out about it, and then there's actually like, I want to say like a video or I think some pictures that Kathy Rankin took.
Oh, yeah, like, she, Portland photographer.
Like in my hand, and I'm like following him out, like talking to him, telling him to do that. I'm like, dude, you have to do that.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't pick that up. It's a big part of his show now. My wife and I were down in San Francisco. We actually saw him at a club last September, Great American Music Hall in San Francisco. And that's kind of an old-fashioned club like the Fillmore. So very narrow, but with balconies on the side, kind of mezzanine-type things. Not too much in the way of seating. But he went right across the floor, up the stairs, up on the balcony. He must have played almost the entire song, so about 7-8 minutes from the crowd rather than going up on stage. But you are the one responsible for that.
Yeah, we talked about it when I met him, and then because he saw me play when I had Dave Call and Lewis, and I had this like really cool like cable loom that like led the cables in one line. He's like, dude, where did you get that? And that's like, they started talking. So But yeah, he's really, really cool. That other moment too, sitting in with Samantha when he was playing.
I was just going to mention that. That was one of my favorite moments.
Yeah, I'm not a riffy guy. I was just trying to play to the moment of the song, and it just organically like pyramided, right? Like where it just led into his solo, and then he just ripped it. Because I didn't really like do a lot of fast stuff. It was just kind of precursor to him just like blowing the volcano. But that video has like 400,000, something like that. Like there's a lot of views on it. It's pretty cool.
Oh, it was an incredible moment. I think it was billed as the Young Guns of guitar.
Yeah.
So you started when you were 16 or so. Kingfish at the time, I think, was 18 or 19. Samantha sure, Fish, yeah, a little older than that, maybe her early 20s or mid 20s. But it was, I think, playing to the audience. We were watching the future of blues up there on stage with you, Kingfish, and Samantha.
No, yeah, it's just been really cool. The different years, I got to meet her the previous year, so she had kind of known who I was, and I think it got hooked up through Peter and stuff. We all just kind of got put together, and then we had that crossroads stage where, like, sitting there being asked questions and stuff. That was a part of too.
Boy, we could have added Dave Scheer to the mix, because I read he was also a guitar prodigy.
In fact,
I read he picked up guitar at the age of 10 and kind of took to it right away.
Classical, yep. So yeah, classical, plays bass, piano, drums, like he does everything. Sings amazing, like, yeah, he's an all-around killer player.
Yeah, that was a treat last year when he played with you guys.
Yeah, definitely. He's like a different kind of take on the blues. He's like a Berklee graduate. He's got a lot of jazz, you know, Eric Johnson-y kind of fusion-y bluesy licks in his stuff. I really dig that a lot.
Now, as mentioned, you're zooming now from Austin, which is your home base, but you're usually up here in Oregon this time of year with a lot of dates in addition to the Blues Festival. So what went into the decision to kind of shelter at home in Austin rather than up here?
So I had some dates here in Austin, actually, right before that, right, everything got canceled and stuff, with like a medical conference at the Hilton, and then I was going to play a barbecue place up in San Antonio for like a grand opening. Those got canceled, and then there was like the shelter in place, and then kind of figuring out mentally like this new situation, like how to handle it and deal with it, be in it kind of deal. I was gonna start like June 27 in
Seven Feathers Casino.
Yeah.
I saw it up on your website. I was going to ask you, have those dates been canceled or kind of still up in the air?
It's up in the air. Yeah, I haven't heard from them. I heard from like a Newport gig I was going to do might be postponed to like September. But as far as like some of those dates, like I have like deposits that I've taken, and I'm like, shoot, I need to like help you somehow, like live concert online, or I just. Yeah, it's crazy times. Like, definitely looking forward to getting back and playing. If, you know, it picks back up and things change, but you know, definitely want to find a cure and have people be safe as well.
Yeah, one of the upcoming shows looked. You I think you play there every year, Cathcan Vineyards.
Yep,
and that's in August. That looks like it might go through because it's you have less chance of catching it outdoors. It's a little easier, I think, to social distance and all that.
For sure. Yeah. There's new concepts coming out where there's drive-up concerts now, and people driving up in a car, you know, parking up by a stage and like just being in your car, but you go see a show like that. And then there's also, this is kind of hilarious too, but like drive-up adult entertainment that's happening as well, because you can't do like people in a club, right? That's what I heard. It's so funny.
Oh, there's actually a place in Portland just off of Powell, the southeast Powell, so it's southeast Portland, and my wife and I went by it was a drive-in strip joint.
Yeah, that's crazy.
We didn't go through, but they were holding up signs, and I'm not quite sure how it works, but I guess you drive up and you could tip from a distance or whatever.
You can't leave until you give them $100.
It might be something like that, so maybe that's why we didn't do it.
Trapped in a garage until you pay up.
But it's interesting to see some of the creative ways that people are opening up. Have they actually done one of those drive-through concerts in Austin that you know about?
I have, yeah. I heard that they have, yeah. Some of the country acts have done it. I mean, there's always stuff going on in the DL. People, you know, out in the country, and like you said, easier to social distance away from, you know, the masses. But there's also like the groups that are like, I trust you, you're not sick, we've been together, you know, this whole time, we've been fine. So it's like, I feel like there's like safe circles, and then those people kind of just do stuff on the DL.
Yeah, well, it's Texas. Even in Oregon, we have people, you're getting kind of tired of sheltering in place. So my wife said she was at Trader Joe's this morning, and they were really good about everybody wearing masks, and all of a sudden people seem more relaxed in a way of less precautions taken.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's just fatigue. You know, people just, and we're getting some good weather. Well, you guys probably have very good weather, very hot weather.
Yeah. I'm thinking about going for a bike ride later.
Yeah, here, the sun's out today. I'm just looking out the window here to my right. But we've had some wet weather and some gloomy weather. So,
same here. We had some hardcore thunderstorms here. They're like,
wow,
really intense, like constant lightning for like an hour. Super loud thunder and like torrential, like monsoon rain for like a good half hour.
Now, how have you spending the time? Are you working on some new songs?
I am working on some new songs. I was like a little bit of like a creative block for a little bit, maybe like slightly depressed, being stuck inside and not knowing what's happening with the world. But yeah, I've got a few new songs that I'm working on, and I've got the ones that were ready for the record as well.
You were very gracious, and you said you're going to play some tunes for us, which I'm really looking forward to. But the regular band, before the pandemic at least, was Jerry Jaquess on drums, yeah. Uh-huh. and Ryan Sadler on bass. And Ryan actually was in last year when you guys played live at KBOO. And the previous two appearances, Jerry came in with the, what's the drum box called?
Cajon.
Oh, the Cajon, yeah. And you guys did acoustic guitar, exactly. And Cajon, which I loved. Are they still part of the Ty Curtis band?
Definitely. Yep. Was going to be playing with them. I was working with some other drummers too, just kind of creatively branching out, getting myself into different zones of rhythm. And but yeah, Jerry and I and Ryan will definitely be playing when we can. I see if I can set us up like a video conference.
I was just going to ask if you guys had gotten together on Zoom and jammed.
Like I said, like I've been a little on the DL, kind of just checking out, not really into the Facebook and all that stuff much. But then I like check back in and, you know, just kind of go through like some phases a little bit. Doing a lot of bike riding and just trying to get outside. We found some really cool trails yesterday and, like a disc golf course, lots of trees, and real nice naturey thing that I've been missing that Oregon has.
Do you sometimes bring the guitar out there? I've seen some Facebook videos where you'll hike and then play.
Yeah, I've got this little Martin Backpacker. It's like that little stick kind of guitar. You could look it up and see what it looks like there. But it kind of sounds like banjo-y like, and that thing's fun to bring out. Yeah. You get by the water. It's played like some acoustic-y stuff. Actually, I just went out for my birthday to Lake Travis, and they had these little cottages, and we stayed out there, and they had like a little patio, and I played it out there, and it was all dark under the stars and stuff. So that was.
Oh, that's a good way to spend your birthday. Well, given the circumstances right now.
Yeah, it was a good one. I definitely had a good time. We're like running and jumping off a dock. It's a water park normally. It's a water resort park that I play at called Beachside Billy's, and they're opening like 25% capacity, but the water parks isn't open. And then like, they just kind of rent on those cottages, like, because we're friends with them. Usually I think they're like booked up, but we're friends, so we got to hook up. But really, really cool place. Peaceful.
You're listening to Mr. Jones's Neighborhood on KBOO Community Radio. On today's show, we're talking with Ty Curtis, Oregon born and bred singer, songwriter, guitarist, coming to us all the way from his home base in Austin, Texas. Have you made any plans to do like a live stream? What we were talking about, Kingfish, he did one last week from Ground Zero Blues Club in Clarksdale, Mississippi, which is his hometown.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it was just him and acoustic guitar.
No, that's cool. Yeah, I plan on trying to just record more and like sit down on my couch and just, you know, play. As far as like trying to play in a club, I don't know about that. I don't have a band down here that I would per se like use, but.
Yeah, I think he just played there because they were all set up, but it was just him alone on stage. So they were doing all the social distancing and all that.
Oh,
Yeah, he didn't have a band with him. It was interesting because he had a CD out not too long ago. It might have been out less than a year, but a lot of the songs I was familiar with that were all electric and, you know, some of them, you know, pretty hard blues, he just toned down and did a more mellow version on the acoustic.
Cool. Yeah, no, that's awesome. I just figure, like, because I'm not be able to put out my album for a while and just like put out the songs and see if people start digging them. Maybe be like, oh, that song sucks. I'm like, all right, well, it's not gonna be on the record then.
Well, you're not gonna get any of that from me because I love them all. The last one we mentioned was Blame Me, that came out a few years ago. That was a really popular album. It was one of the top 10 blues rock albums that year by voted on by Blues Rock Review, and you had guys like Joe Bonamassa, I think Jeff Beck were in that category too. So that's some pretty good people to be roped in with. Yeah. Now, the new album, does it have a name?
I don't have a name for it. No, I haven't gone that far, but I definitely, I've got some ideas.
Is there any song from that you'd like to preview today, or would you rather play songs from some of the older records?
I was going to play this one called Oh Well, because like normally I play like the shuffly stuff and the bluesy stuff, but it's kind of like when I'm like sitting around with my acoustic in this kind of vibe, like I tend to like kind of play more, I don't know, singer-songwriter-y kind of stuff, I guess, but like it's just like the vibe that I'm in right now, so that's why I would play it.
Oh, okay. Did you want to play that then? Oh Well? And
sure. Yeah, yeah.
And Ty, you know, I'm an audience here. I just love your music, so anything else you want to play after that works fine.
Change my scene, 'cause it's not really what I see. I'm really trying to hold it together, so we'll find a part of the scene. Closed doors made of mine, and you already walked that line. It's just a matter of time, you know. The walls closing, and there's no sunshine, and it would feel brand new. Do not see no same eyes staring back at you, because you know that you still got love in your heart. Just go back to the start and say, oh well. Oh well. I wanna change my scene, 'cause it's so full of broken things. I'm always trying to bear the weather, Lord, but it's pouring down on me. Worn out hearts and gray skies, oh. And you're already tried and tried. And time is slowly passing by, and the walls are closing. There might not be sunshine. Yeah, when the walls not closing, yeah, the walls not
Oh, I love it. Yeah, thanks. That was a great ending. When did you write that? Was that like a year or two ago? Like, or
maybe like half a year.
Oh.
It's been like developing. I think it's maybe like close to a year. We were working on it at Jerry's, and that was like at least 6 months ago, probably.
And is that already recorded for the new album?
No, but I got like the roughs of it and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It always comes out a little bit different each time.
How do you decide when you actually go to record it? I know several bands, well, I'm a big Deadhead, and a lot of songs, they just started playing live and then went into the studio to record them. How do you decide?
Yeah.
How do you decide on how you're going to play it? Because live, I mean, you could play it different every time, depending on how you feel.
Determined by like the vibe that everybody lays down in the studio. So like when I work with studio musicians, for instance, like on Water Under the Bridge, like Glenn Fukunaga, the way he plays bass, like he drives everybody. So it's like you're just like, hold on for dear life. You know what I mean? Like you're gonna sink or swim. So like those guys like pull you into maybe a zone and an energy that you never thought was possible. So like a lot of the records, like I've feeling that supercharged like meeting of all these super killer players, you know. So like that's what I'm feeling in my head. I'm just like feeling so like justified and about like what we're doing, because it's so like at the top level and all these guys are just giving it their best and there for the music.
How do you work that in the studio then, when you teach them the song, introduce the song to them, then you just give them the freedom as musicians sitting in with you to kind of take it in different directions?
Yeah, so like I'd say each player has his own way of like interpreting what the song needs. What I'll do is I'll sit down like I just did with you, and I'll play the song as a rough and just let them listen to me. And then they write down notes and that kind of stuff. Like with Glenn, he just like chart out the song and write out his own little notes. And then he'd go in and play it and make like one mistake, fill it, done.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Those are pretty good musicians.
Exactly. Yeah. So like just once they find, like they just kind of zero in on what the song needs, you know, and they've kind of been there, done that. There's a recipe that works, and they know lots of them.
and you're just happy to go along with wherever they take the song in the studio.
Yeah, I mean, if I don't like it, I'd say something, but their instinct and where they're going to take it, it's always going to be awesome. So,
is there another song from the new album you'd like to play, or would you like to play one of the older ones?
Sure. Let's see, I'm trying to think. Play this song and it's like it's called Back to You.
Everything you do tells you it's all right. Stay up on the phone late night. I just want to make it back to you. 'Cause everything moves in slow-mo. Never ever will I let you go. This distance is just what we have to do. Oh, I can't to make it back to you. To make it back to you. Being away it's just so hard. Cold nights looking at the stars. I try not to think of you and me. Cause it shakes me and breaks me up inside. I know I'll get through this night. Yes, I do know it to be true. Oh, I can't wait to make it back to you. Together we make sense. Together we complement. Together we're the best song. And I won't settle for nothing. No, no, nothing less. This time is to an end. We know we'll be here again. I feel stronger when I know the truth. Yeah, cause all that we can do is push on. Time is slipping by in this song. You know just what I'd like to do. Make it back to you. Make it back to you.
Oh, wow, thank you. Boy, that worked really well, acoustic, even cool. On Zoom. It was just so soulful.
Cool,
your voice is, it can be different things in different songs.
Oh, yeah.
I really enjoy that.
Awesome.
Now, when you were on last year, you had a new CD of older material because I think you have 6 records out now, but the first 3 are out of print. I actually have one of them here. I feel lucky I was able to get it. It's Cross That Line. So,
yeah.
And you even signed it. We were at a show, one of your shows. You signed it for my wife, Andrea. There,
nice.
So that's one of my prized possessions. But the early years collect some of your favorite songs from those first 3 albums, and some of them are concert staples, like "Fool's Game," which is a very high powered number. Especially live in performance. I wondered if you could do one of the songs from that album, maybe one of your favorites that you think works better acoustically or works well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we could do that song.
I've got the whole list here because I've got the the record.
Which one do you want to hear? Let's see.
I forgot what you played last year. Was it Come On? I mean, I've got a lot of favorites on here. Let's see, Down on My Luck, I've heard that a lot, which I love. Out in the Country, Feel What I Feel. The title song from the record I have, Cross That Line. So those are just a few, but I like them all.
Cool. What do you feel like? I'm thinking like Cross That Line.
Yeah, if you want to do that. The other thing I was going to mention, you did 2 performances over a period of weeks at the Lake Theater in Lake Oswego, where you played, I think, 2 albums in sequence. So the first 2 and then numbers 3 and 4. And man, I love that. Boy, you had a packed house, so I wasn't alone there in loving it. But I can't remember any of the standouts from there. Like I said, I mean, all the songs work really well. Oh, no, there were plenty. So if you could remember any of those. And of course, that was with the full band. It wasn't just you and an acoustic.
Yeah, so off early years, Out in the Country is usually one I gravitate to on acoustic.
Oh, that works.
Yeah, we can do that one. That's cool. Let's see. I'm going out to the country. Today's a world of mine. Going out to the country,
he's a rolling mine. So nice to get away. It's bad to lie. We're going out to the country. Well, good times never end. Oh, don't you know? Well, I'll be back again. Yes, I'll be back again. The job can be long. I don't care. Just let it be fine. As soon as I'm there. He's my willing mind. So nice to get away. From those bright city lights. We're going out to the St. Louis Park. I gotta pull in a line. Going out to the St. Louis Ponds, I got pulled in a line. Gonna fish out day, good friend of mine. The job can be long, oh, but I don't care. Chopping down that road. In the country, he's not one of mine. So nice to get away, yeah, from those pricey lights. Out in the country. Make a little girl mine. Yeah, now she's so sweet. She makes me feel real fine. Oh, out in the country. Stars are about to light. Oh, don't you know? I feel alright. I feel alright. Change the words and I know as I feel alright. And I said the job can be long, but I don't care. Cause as soon as I'm there, I know I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there in the country.
So you changed the words a little towards the end.
Oh, right? I was talking about it, yeah.
No, that was fun.
You never know what's gonna happen.
Oh man, this was such a treat for me.
I played these, so I'm just like, I don't know where it's gonna go.
Well, I guess that's kind of one of the thrills of live performance.
Yeah,
you can't really predict it in advance. You know the songs, but they go different directions depending on your mood and the audience
and
response.
Words or not, too. That's why that.
Do you ever use like a teleprompter or anything like that when you're on stage?
Oh yeah, I have. It's been a minute. I'm not practiced, I guess. No, I had fun. It's all good. I'll get back on it. Get myself a little more perfected.
Yes, I'll let people know that's on the CD, The Early Years, and people can get your music and find out more. Hopefully, there'll be some upcoming shows, especially in Oregon this summer, at tycurtis.net.
Yep, that's right.
And there's three records for sale there, and hopefully we got the preview of two of the songs on the new record. That will be out at some point after this mess kind of dies down a bit.
Definitely.
Oh, Ty, I wanted to get one more thing in. We all know musicians, you're making your money on live music, and the audience is coming to the shows and, drinking beer, getting sodas, stuff to eat, paying admission usually or cover charge. And, of course, that can't go on now because of the pandemic. But where can your fans help get you through this thing, help support you? Did you set up a GoFundMe or anything like that?
I don't have a GoFundMe. I've got PayPal, which would be ty@tykurtis.net. And then there's a Venmo, which is TylerCurtis31.
Okay, so Venmo is really the same thing. It's just on the mobile phone. So that's TylerCurtis31 on Venmo and ty@tykurtis.net on PayPal.
Yep.
And I can't stress enough, it's really important for all of us. I know some of us are struggling financially ourselves, but if there's anything you can spare to keep businesses you like going, to keep musicians like Ty going during this time, please do what you can. And that's a lot of this, you know, PayPal, Venmo, GoFundMe campaigns, and with some of the venues, it's buying gift certificates. So I know we've done several things like that here in Portland just to keep some of these venues going. Again, it's a really rough time, but this has been such a thrill, as it always is for me when you come into KBOO or here via Zoom, me in Portland.
Yeah, for sure, definitely.
So again, a happy belated 33rd birthday. Happy birthday to your wife, Sarah. That's coming up. And all the best to you. And
thank you.
I hope we get to see each other live. Well, if you're doing shows here this summer, I'll be there. But but for KBOO, we could hopefully next year, just before the Blues Festival.
I promise you that.
I'll hold you to that.
Yeah, good deal.
So, Ty, again, thanks very much.
Awesome. Thank you, Ken.
Well, that's all for this episode of Mr. Jones's Neighborhood here on KBOO Community Radio, or KBOO Neighborhood Radio, as I like to call it. If you missed any part of the show, would just like to hear it all again, you can stream this episode and previous episodes online at kboo.fm/program/Mr. Jones's Neighborhood, or just search for it on the KBOO website. Before we head out the door, a big neighborhood thank you to Ty Curtis for joining us from his home in Austin, Texas. Money is tight during this time, but if you can spare a little extra, please consider supporting your favorite musicians to help them pay the rent, keep food on the table, while music venues are shut down. If you'd like to lend Ty a hand, he's on PayPal at ty@tykurtis.net and on Venmo at TylerCurtis31. Just a note that Mr. Jones's Neighborhood comes to you monthly on every fourth Friday from 11 a.m. to noon. Tune in for our next show on Friday, June 26th at 11 a.m. Hope to see you all again then. In the meantime, many thanks to the KBOO staff, Jenna, Celeste, Arthur, Tammy, Asia, Althea, Jenka, Otto, and others who are keeping the station running while almost everyone else at the station is keeping their distance and making radio from home. And many thanks to all of you as well for listening. I'm your host, Ken Jones, no relation, saying may there be better and more beautiful days ahead in your neighborhood. We'll close today's show with the title track from Ty's latest CD of new music, Blame Me.
held high, and I'll never go astray.